All right, here, just a little dab in the eyeballs. You know, I use a CPAP at night, and I don't know about you, if anybody here else besides me, but I'll tell you, it dries your eyes out. Dries your eyes out. I do, shh. And I can see you, though, even though my eyes are dry. Hebrews chapter 13, if you would, in verse 10, we're going to go right there. And I just want to say, we have an altar. Amen. Now, it's not a mourner's bench, okay? All right? So we're going to clear the air on that and just find out exactly what kind of an altar. Over in Hebrews chapter 13, and you're there, and I'm just filing over trying to get there. Okay, we're close. Hebrews 11, that's got to be in the vicinity. Hebrews 13, thank you, man. I'll tell you what, see that? Be ready, in season, out of season, right? Ready to stand, ready to leave, ready to go right now. Hebrews 13, 10. And it says, your Bible, my Bible, King James. Hopefully, if you don't have that, please grab one. All right. Hebrews 13, 10. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. But, you know, we find in the Old Testament the altar, of course. We find a brazen altar back there. We'll maybe cover that if we get time. I think we will have time. Let's see here. Okay, it's 10:23, and so, you know, be not carried back up in verse 9. I should have read that one. It says in Hebrews chapter 13 verse 9, it says, be not carried away with divers and strange doctrines. And boy, we've got them floating about, don't we, even in Baptist churches, sad to say. Just because it says Baptist on the door doesn't mean it's truly Baptist. I remember when I was at Lexington Baptist College, and you know, they're always looking for preacher boys, you know, to go fill these empty churches where they don't have a pastor. And they sent me out in the country in Kentucky, south of the Lexington, the southeast. And man, I'll tell you what, Wanda and I, we got up there, we started to sing this song. I like to always love to sing. And next thing I know, there's a lady over here. She's got her hands up and going, oh, I don't know where she was trying to get the frequency that I was on or whatever. I don't know what was going on there. But went into the back room Sunday night to have prayer with this. You know, folks, if they don't know, it's our responsibility to teach. Amen? And so we need to teach. And we're told that we shouldn't be carried about with strange doctrines, but we ought to teach true doctrine, and we need to teach the doctrines of Christ. Amen? And so what he's talking about there, of course, the Hebrews, that follow the laws of the tabernacle, which is a pattern or a shadow, Hebrews 10:1 says, of the things to come. But they were fulfilled in Christ. Christ came and fulfilled all things that were demanded of the law. Thank God for that. We're not under the law. We're out from under the law because Christ paid in full the penalty of the law that we were worthy of death, and Christ bore our sins. But here it says, don't be carried about with strange doctrines, for it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace. Grace, wonderful grace, amazing grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. So the whole book of Hebrews, Jews, and with the practice of Judaism, of course, it got sidetracked. They missed the Lord in the Old Testament. They missed the Lord after his presence on this earth. And they missed the Lord even today. They're still in blindness it says, the book of Romans, Paul says, blindness in part. Amen? So they are going to be coming soon after conviction. And, of course, you know, the tribulation is called the time of Jacob's trouble. Why is it called the time of Jacob's trouble? Because Jacob's going to go through some trouble, purging them from their unbelief. And they shall see, and they'll mourn. They will. They will mourn over the one whom they missed. And they will be convicted and converted. We know at least 144,000 in the whole. You know, why only 144,000 at the JWs come knocking on the door? And what's that all about? I'll tell you what that's about. They just go out there with false doctrine and trying to say just 100. And I said, well, are you a part of the 144,000, where are you going to wind up? You know, because we got a lot more than 144,000 Jehovah's Witnesses, false prophets, that is, false witnesses running the earth. So, anyway, time for a swallow here. Oh, it's so good. If you need some, don't get up and leave until after I get through. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat. You know, who does we refer to? Those carried about with divers and strange doctrines. Those whose heart is not established with grace. But we are established with grace because Christ Jesus our Lord gives us saving grace. Amen. And there's more than just saving grace. There's sanctified grace. You know, when you study that sanctification that Christ, he set us apart through his purpose and his fulfillment of what God purposed a long time ago. And so we find that that grace has set us apart. Sanctified grace it is. Yes, it is. That's in the book of Hebrews also. But anyway, let's go on. Those whose faith rest in Christ Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever, as Hebrews 13:8, the verse before what I just read to you. So what is our altar? First, let's talk about what it's not, okay? Not the cross. The cross as an instrument of execution, like an electric chair or a needle for a lethal injection or a gun used for a firing squad or stones used throughout Scripture, especially, I think, poor Stephen. Stephen, but Stephen wasn't sad. He was about ready to be, he saw the Lord standing. You know, Christ sits in heaven. But when he stands, you know, someone brought this out a long time ago. I think I did. But anyway, that Christ was standing there when Stephen was being stoned. And you, brother, in our devotion this morning, that's right. Does Jesus care? Oh, yes, he cares. He cares for every one of his saints. He is set apart. That word saint, the same word is sanctified. Agios in the Greek, it means same thing. So, I would no more remember my Lord by such a misrepresentation of this cross, this instrument. A lot of people have crosses, and if you've got one, that's fine and dandy, okay? Because it's what your faith is in. Not the wooden instrument, but the gentleman that was on there. The man Christ, amen? The God-man. Two natures, one person. And so not a piece of furniture in a building, church building, that's not a cross, not the table on the where the bread and wine are placed. You know, people come down to the altar, they call it. And no, that's not an altar, no. No, not a place in front of the church where preachers call men in order to profess Christ. No. Those things are temporal, fleshly idols used to appeal to the carnal eye. Now, we want to see people saved. We do. You need to be praying and witnessing that because only God can do it and God does do it. You know, we say here a little, there a little. You know, in the last days that I believe we are in, you know, we find that men will depart from the truth. Yes, they've been doing it for quite a while. But we find because of that, where truth is lacking, you know, men in despair, where can we turn but to the Lord of Scripture, amen? But anyway, we see these false altars that are out there today. The believer's altar, which is us here, is not a what, but a who. Our altar is Christ. Hebrews chapter 10, 1, like I said, the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things. And I want to show you 13 types of Christ, which we see by looking at the altar used in the law of Moses, okay? From Adam to Moses, the patriarchs were commanded of God to build altars, amen? They sure were. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 24. We find over there that an altar of earth thou shalt make unto me and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings. This is the Lord telling, instructing Moses, the children of Israel, that on that altar you're going to sacrifice thereon by thy burnt offerings and peace offerings and thy sheep, thine oxen, and all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee and I will bless thee. So the only ones to whom God gave directions concerning an altar were his peculiar people, as Peter describes us over there in 1 Peter chapter 2, and I believe it's verse 9. So the patriarchs throughout the Old Covenant, back in the Old Testament that is, dispensation, the only people who had an altar were the people whom God had chosen to have it and instructed to do it. All who come to Christ are God's elect, first of all, and chosen by God. And by divine choice, God's mercy and grace, that we, the saints of God, we have the right to come to Christ because of this sacrifice through the cross at Calvary. That's true. Now, it was through the altar that God said, in all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, I will bless thee. Christ is the altar in whom God came unto us and blessed us. And through Christ, all these spiritual blessings we read over in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings through Christ our Savior. Amen, Lord and Savior. And so what we find here, that in Exodus chapter 20, you go to the next verse, 25, if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, not build it of honed stone, don't hone it out there. If thou shalt lift thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. There was restrictions of how God exactly wanted the pattern. You know, we're told that Moses was to see that they follow the pattern that was given to Moses. Amen. God gave the instruction, don't change it, don't modify it, don't try to say, well, things are not happening, so we're going to try to change the rules and regulations of God's word. No, no. Follow the instructions. That was all the shadow of the Old Testament fulfilled in Christ. We know that, right? So let's move on. We find that the shittim wood, that the altar in the tabernacle was made of shittim wood because it was a wood which was resistant to rot and deterioration, okay? Christ is the altar, born of a virgin and of the Holy Spirit, of course, not of Adam, and none of the pollution of the first man, Adam, was to be found in the pollution which is in Christ our altar. He is holy, he is pure, above all. Exodus 10 and verse 26 says this. We were in the 20th chapter. You get back up 10 and verse 26. Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, the Lord says, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. And he's not talking about going up there naked with no clothes on. He's talking about the nakedness of our heart. You know, there's a passage in Hebrews. Maybe you're still there in Hebrews. It tells us that there's the... In the fourth chapter, interesting, it says about the Word of God, but it goes on talking about how deep the Word of God can go, does go. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and 13, very interesting. This wasn't on my notes here, but I'm going to read it anyway. Okay, here we go. Hebrews 4, 12 says, for the Word of God's quick. You know, like under your fingernail, man, I mean, you ever get something stuck under there? Woo! It's alive, amen? It's alive. For the word of God is alive and powerful, dunamos there, and sometimes has reference to energeo, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, right down in nitty-gritty, right? I mean, the word of God sees all the details of our life, the intentions of the heart, the very motives by what we do. And so it says, and of the joints and marrow, in other words, a deep, deep investigation, a dividing of soul and spirit. A discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That word discerner is the same word critic. You know, let the Word of God do the criticizing, you know. Don't you do it. Let the word of God, the Holy Spirit takes him. Boy, I'll tell you, he gets the job done, doesn't he? If we, you know, I tell you, when the Holy Spirit gives conviction and conversion, the most wonderful thing, right, Tom? Amen. We both know by the experience, so do you that are saved. And so, but it goes on to say in the next verse, neither is there any creature, you know, that's you and I, that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now, it talks about finishing up in that verse 12 about the heart. The heart, we're very naked before God. There ain't nothing you can hide. Tucked in there deep in me. Oh, well, Lord, you know, there's something back there the Lord don't know about. He knows everything. He knows you before you even came into existence, all of the details. So anyway, we read there that coming to God's altar, in Exodus 10, 26, coming to the altar up steps, you know, like approaching not of our own work and effort, there's no work to be done by us to come to Christ. Amen. What coming to the altar typified is the acceptance not by your works, but the acceptance through Christ, our altar. We come to the only way. Christ said, I am the way, the only way. And the altar typified Christ, the only way. Attempt to come up by our steps and our nakedness is going to be discovered. And it'll come to Christ empty-handed, nothing in our hands. We bring simply to the cross, we claim. No shame shall be found in you. Well, Exodus 27, verse 1, this was the altar in the tabernacle, and thou shalt make an altar of shittim wood, 5 cubits long, 5 broad. In other words, it was a square, but the height was 4 square, and thereof, 4 square, and the scripture speaks of fullness, by the way. The city, 4 square, you know. And so, remember that, 4 square, fullness, okay? And Christ is all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, as Colossians chapter 2 tells us, verse 10, I believe it is, and ye are complete in him. Exodus 27, verse 2, thou shalt make the horns of it, which are going to be on there. Now, there's going to be a horn on each, on the 4 square of this thing. It's going to have an horn. And they'll be overladen with brass. Now, if you study Old Testament, you find that brass is symbolic of what? Judgment. Judgment on the horns of the altar, judgment. Remember that. Throw that in there real quick. Horns represented also strength. And guilty men would flee to the altar and lay hold of the horns of the altar, begging for mercy and forgiveness from God. Christ is the strength of forgiveness, okay, for all of us that are saved. We flee and lay hold of the strength that is before us. Christ is our altar. On that altar had 4 horns. He's the strength of our salvation. Amen? Amen. All right. Brass is what gave the altar its beauty, by the way, when you looked at it. Of course, we see pictures of it. But Christ is not only a man, but he is God. He's the Son of God. It took the Son of God to become a son of man to be our representative, our substitute. And Exodus 27:6 goes on to say, thou shalt make staves for the altar, staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with brass. And the staves would be put into the rings. They had rings on each side, and the shaft of the staff would go through there, overlaid with brass. And then when they were ever going to transport it, going through the wilderness, maybe somebody is taught on this already. I'm sure your pastor's taught on that all about the altar and the transporting. Leviticus 6:14, and this is the law. Our pastor, by the way, my pastor. I thank God for him. I know you do. But there's more to him, his niceness. It's his truthfulness. That's where he really shines. The beauty of my pastor, whom I love. And I'm not saying that for trying to put, thank God, man, I get an opportunity to get up here. Ooh, we better move on. All right, Leviticus 6:14. This is the law of the meat offering. The sons of Aaron going to offer it before the Lord on this altar, and he shall take of it his handful of the flour of the meat offering, oil thereof, and all the frankincense upon the meat offering. So they're going to beautify this. My wife, when she makes food out on the grill, you know, she's going to put out special stuff on it, and boy, it's so sweet, you know. And I think of the frankincense that was put on this, the sweet savor. It says that it shall burn upon the altar for a sweet savor, that is, a sweet odor, even memorial of it unto God, of the Lord. So the text speaks of eating at the altar, and this is what is specifically referred to as Christ is himself the offering on that altar. He's the altar, he's the offering, he's all in all Christ is, as Colossians tells us, as well as a high priest that went there and interceded in our behalf. He was a man, he couldn't do anything. He's just symbolic of the true high priest. We have a high priest right now, 24/7. He is interceding for Al Malo, and I have nothing to worry about whatsoever. My salvation is sure, but I do have responsibilities, and so do you. Let's not bring dishonor to the glory of God, amen. Let's bring honor and glory to the one who died for us. Amen? Okay, Josh, you didn't get a second cup of coffee, I can tell right now. Ephesians chapter 5:2 says, walk in love. Christ also loved us, gave himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor, odor. So we approach God in Christ, our altar, that a sweet savor might come up to God for a memorial unto the Lord. And I'll tell you, that memorial forevermore, what Christ has done, amen, for eternity. And so the fire from off the altar consumed the sacrifice. Christ bore the fiery wrath of God. He was consumed of fire of God's wrath. His offering came up to God as a sweet odor, ever to be remembered by the Lord of hosts. You know, there's something in Isaiah chapter 53 tells us that Christ offered up his soul. You know, people make a lot about the and don't disregard the sacrifice of Christ physically. But you know, we have 6 hours on that cross, and the first three, of course, we see the suffering of Christ manifold. But then we find darkness came over all the earth because God was judging in his Son our sins. And I want you to remember that his soul was a sacrifice. His soul. And you say, wow, Christ had a soul? There's something about the uniqueness of Christ when God the Son became God the man, unique as two natures, one man. You can't separate, you never do, separate the two. And there's a man in heaven, by the way, the God-man. He's reigning on high. Come on in. I'm not through, brother. I'm telling you, we're just getting warmed up. Romans 8:1 says, therefore, there is no condemnation, that is krina in the Greek, and it means no judgment to them that are in Christ. We are in all the blessings, but we are in all the protection also in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Read that last part. People say, I'm saved, but they're walking after the flesh. You know, make sure that you are one of God's elect. Make sure that you are saved and on your way to heaven. How? By, if you were walking in the flesh, you need to get on your knees and ask God to straighten out that false profession that you made. Now, we're not sinless. We don't believe in sinless perfection, but we sure do sin less because we are saved. Amen. And so that verse right there, a lot of times people emphasize just a half of a verse. Read it all. In fact, read the whole Word of God, and it'll keep us on the straight and narrow. Amen. So Leviticus 6:16 says, the remainder thereof shall Aaron and his sons eat. What's left of the sacrifice, there they eat. And with unleavened bread shall it be eaten in the holy place, in the court of their tabernacle of the congregation, they shall eat it. And it shall not be bacon with leaven. No, leaven is a type of sin. Leaven, no. Christ, the pure Son of God, no. And so they're going to eat the unleavened bread, and you don't put leaven in any of it. Anything, no leaven to be found in the whole territory. Okay? Because I have given it unto them for their portion, my offerings for by fire. It is most holy. It's a holy offering. It's a holy altar. And it all symbolizes Christ. You know, Christ is the food for the child of God. We eat the heavenly manna, amen, that came down and gave. He says, my flesh is truly meat indeed, amen. And my blood, drink indeed. You say, boy, that sounds like cannibalism. No, and a spiritual aspect people don't understand, comprehend. They mix the two up with the physical and the spiritual. The application, if you got to rightly divide the Word of God. And that's where a lot of people are all messed up. We got Baptist churches out there. You don't even know where they are. They even Baptist today? And we don't undermine anything that God has started. There are churches that need help. A lot of them are on a wayward, and they're trying to save. They're trying to keep the church rolling and going by man's ability. And they are doomed to destruction if that's the route that they want to take. So Leviticus tells us that it shall not be bacon with leaven. I have given it unto them for the portion of my offerings made by fire. The fire is enough, and most holy it is. It is a sin offering and as the trespass offering. Remember that. In the book of Leviticus, the first 5 chapters, we find the first 5 offerings that are offered there. And you find that the sin offering, the trespass offering, you find those categorized there in the book of Leviticus as the Levites were to offer and to practice and were rightfully dividing. Not only is Christ the portion of sweet savor or odor unto the Lord, but he is our portion as well. I don't have this written down, but I remember this passage. Is it 2 Corinthians, I believe, chapter 2? Let's see here. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. The savor of life unto death. Yeah, here we go. Furthermore, I came to Troas, to preach Christ's gospel. The door was open unto me of the Lord. The Lord was in it all, thank God. But he goes on to say, in verse 14, that 2 Corinthians 2:14, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Victory. I say we got victory always, and makes manifest of the odor of his knowledge. Here it is right here, the odor of his knowledge, that fragrance going up into the very nostrils of God when he hears about his son. When he hears, and God doesn't have to be reminded. But glory to God, and all as the saints of God sing and proclaim, to God be the glory. We sing great things he's done and is doing. It says in verse 14 at the very end, and the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. We better make it known. Amen. Lift up the name of Christ. Lift up the doctrine of Christ. Preach it. We have an altar whereof they don't have any right to eat. People are leading folks to a wrong altar. If it's a mourner's bench, they're leading them to a wrong doctrine if it's not of the Scripture. You know, the devil's pretty sneaky. He pulled one on Eve and he said, did the Lord really say, Eve, that you can't eat thereof? You surely die. And then she twisted the Scripture. She added to it. We don't add to it. We don't take away from it. And then the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was led by the Spirit out into the wilderness to be tempted of the tempter, you know, we find that the tempted, three times he's using Scripture. You know, in the famous, what is the favorite psalm of the devil? Psalm 91, I believe it is. You know, because if you pull off this high and lifted up place, that the angels will catch you and protect you. And thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. I mean, every time, how did the Lord confront temptation? With Scripture. And how are you going to confront temptation? With truth of whose you are, whom you are, and what you should be doing. Amen. Don't never forget that. Okay? So this is what we have there. Let me see. Turn over. The high priest is Christ. His sons are the children. And he has made priest unto God. Revelation 1:5, I got down there. We are made a priest and kings, or a kingdom of priests, as it says in the Greek there. Okay? God has a heavenly kingdom of priests. And what are we offering up? Hebrews chapter 13, I believe it's verse 20, is it? It says we are continually offering up praises unto God. Continually. Amen. All day long, praise his holy name. Hey, I'm almost through. Hey, woo, 7 till. All right, right on schedule. I had an outline on the brazen altar. I'm not going to do that one, and so I'll leave that out. Let's see, what's this one? Christ our altar. There's another outline. I got 3 outlines. Just do one's enough, right? I think it covered enough about the mourner's bench. It's just sad that people say, you come here and you see everybody bowing on their knees. Well, if they're instructing them about Christ, I don't care. You can bow your knees back there, here. Instruct them in truth. Now, repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't know much when I was saved. Neither did you. But that you were a sinner. And that you needed Christ. And when he saved, and the Holy Spirit opened your eyes of understanding to see him as true. Dying for you. Man, the bubbling. Praise to God. Amen. Isn't it great to be saved this morning, knowing that you'll never lose your salvation if you are truly saved? I said, well, how do I know that? Well, with Scripture. Prove all things. Amen. And the Scripture does that. Are we walking in the light as he's in the light? Amen. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word. And Leviticus 6:16 says, unleavened bread shall be eaten, and it shall not be baked. Yeah. And 6:18 goes on to say, all the males among the children of Aaron shall eat of it, and shall be a statute forever. Underscore the forever. That's very important. We eat of Christ not one time. You know, you remember the instance where the manna came down from the sky, and all of a sudden the children of Aaron, look at this. I'm going to pick up a week full. You know what happened when they picked up more than a day's full? It rotted. Well, that sure doesn't symbolize Christ, does it? We need to have, Lord, give us our daily bread. Daily. You're into the Word of God just on Wednesday, Sunday morning and night. You're missing out. You're in the Word of God Sunday and you miss it on Monday. What happened? I guess you didn't learn the lesson on Sunday. How about Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Amen. You know, that's it. I think that's all I've got. I mean, we have an altar. Believers have an altar. Christ is our altar. We have an altar which they have no right to eat. That served the tabernacle or any other way. I tell you what, we who worship God in the Spirit and truth, rejoice in Christ Jesus, Philippians 3:3. And we have no confidence in the flesh whatsoever. Man, I got a lot of other stuff on that. Maybe in about a year or two, if the Lord keeps us here, and I get another Sunday school class, I'll jump on it. That is all. Thank you, brother. Amen. Hey, what time is it? 4 till? Woohoo!
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome, brother.